Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Friday, May the 8th. It was an absolutely lovely day here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. In fact, it's 67 right now as I speak to you around 8 o'clock Central Time. So it's just absolutely lovely. It's going to be this way, apparently, for the next 5 to 6 days. I mean, the temperatures are going to be in the mid-70s, late high 70s during the day. So it's just great. It's just great. Let's enjoy it. One of those weeks when we can actually take a little walk and enjoy this absolutely beautiful weather. Well, today we're going to talk a little bit about the Flynn story, some new developments in the Russia investigation, and then of course the U.S. economy. I mean, just devastating numbers. That's all you can say. And then we're going to look back at a couple of big things that happened on May the 8th. In 1945, Victory in Europe Day, and President Truman was born in this day in 1884. Obviously, President Truman and Victory in Europe Day have a few things in common, to say the least. But let's begin with the Flynn story. It's becoming more obvious that this was a setup, that somebody in the FBI wanted to get this guy. When you look at some of the notes, by the way, this is another thing about the people in the FBI who were out to get Flynn. They wrote too many notes. They sent each other too many emails about this, and these emails and these notes are going to end up hurting them if this goes, and I think it will. I think some of this stuff is going to go. I think some of these people are going to be indicted. I'm not going to tell you which one because I don't know. But when you write as many notes, I mean, they're sitting there basically saying, well, do we get them to lie? What are we going to do? I mean, that's simply an image of the FBI that is completely, well, the FBI shouldn't do that. That's not their business to get people to lie or to set up people or to manufacture a crime. The FBI does investigation, and by the way, they do fantastic work in the area of investigation. The FBI is one of the most prestigious federal organizations in the United States. And it has a tremendous reputation around the world as a law enforcement organization. I think most Americans, when you say the FBI, I think most Americans understand that you're talking about a quality organization. Obviously, the people involved in this setting up General Flynn were obviously not good people. They're bad apples, as they like to say. And let's just watch this thing unfold. I mean, right now there's an investigation. John Durham, regional attorney or district attorney, is looking at this for Attorney General Barr. And everything I hear, everything I understand, is that there will be more shoes to drop. So stay tuned. This is not the only thing that we're going to hear about what was going on in the Obama White House, particularly in that transition from President Obama to new President Trump. So stay tuned. But I am happy. I am happy that General Flynn has been cleared. And let's hope that he can get some of his money back. I mean, this man, as I understand, lost everything, including his home. You know, that should never be done, should never happen to an American citizen, and of course, in this case, a military veteran of 30 years. Now, if you're gonna treat a narco like El Chapo like that, well, okay, I'll listen to you. But my goodness, an American hero, just absolutely pathetic, absolutely pathetic. So I hope he not only gets back his legal standing, which I'm sure he will. But I hope that he gets back some of the money that he lost. And the people involved in this, I'm hoping they get punished very badly. The other story, of course, is this whole matter of Russia. We're beginning to realize now, through some documentation that was released, that people were saying one thing privately and saying one thing publicly. In other words, the same people that you saw going on television saying that, you know, we have evidence of Russia collusion and, you know, this and this and that. It turns out when they were speaking in private or when they were speaking in some of these sessions, of course, they were speaking under oath, they were saying, no, there's no information of any collusion. And yet for 3 years, that's all we heard. or 2 years. That's all we heard about collusion and all these reports in the press about, you know, a source close to the investigation. Well, it turns out that, you know, if I was the editor of some of these newspapers, I would bring in the reporters who were writing these stories, and I would say, who in the heck were these sources that you were writing stories about? Because these sources turned out to be wrong across the board. And I think some people in the media need to apologize. I mean, they need to apologize. They need to tell their readers, hey, we misled you about this. We totally misled you. Now, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt that they didn't know everything about Russia, meaning they didn't know that the people they were putting on the air had privately said something totally different. I'll give CNN and MSNBC the benefit of the doubt on that. But my goodness, it's too late now. They need to come out and say, look, I'm sorry, folks, but we told you something for a couple of years that was completely, completely untrue. By the way, speaking of the Russia investigation, apparently there are more shoes to drop on that as well. Again, I don't have any inside information, but just my sense, I kind of get the feeling that there are some shoes to drop here. This is not over by any stretch. There's some bad news, I think, for the Obama administration, particularly the transition from Obama to Trump. I think there's some bad news for some people involved in that transition. Well, of course, the big story today is the American economy. Look, there's no pretty way to explain 14% unemployment. There's just no pretty way to explain it other than it is what it is, very high. 20 million jobs were lost. I mean, this is truly an amazing, I've never seen anything like this. In fact, I don't believe this has ever happened before, where within 60 days you go from less than 4% unemployment to 14% unemployment. Now, as I said before, there's no pretty way of explaining 14% unemployment or 20 million jobs. If there is some good news to all of this, is that the numbers were, I guess, better than they were expecting, for whatever consolation that is. But I think you see in the stock market a little movement up. And that what that tells me, and I'm not an expert in the stock market, but I do know this. I think the stock market is an indication of the future. So the fact that people are investing, the fact that people are going in the market, the fact that the market, I think, went over 24,000 again today. Remember, it was at 29. And then it dropped to like 19. So now it's picked up about half of its value, I guess. The fact that the market is acting in a positive way and moving in the right direction, what that says to me is that there's some confidence out there, that the investors, the people looking, you know, beyond 2020, the people looking to 2021, 2022, are optimistic about the American economy. That's all I can say about it. I mean, the market is reflecting some optimism about the American economy, and that's a good thing, because my goodness, we need something to feel good about, because as I said before, there's no pretty way of explaining 14% unemployment and 20 million jobs lost in 60 days. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back. Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Friday, May the 8th. A couple of things we want to remember on this day in history, a couple of very consequential things in American history. On this day in 1884, Harry Truman was born in Missouri. He was born in Independence, Missouri. Harry Truman had a, I would call it a pretty typical Midwestern life. Served in World War One. I believe he was a sergeant in World War One. He was not a distinguished businessman or anything like that. In fact, he was probably as simple of a person as you can expect. I don't think he even had a college degree. And eventually he got into politics in Missouri, and became senator of Missouri, I believe in 1936 or 1938. And then in 1944, when the Democrats gathered to pick or to reelect or to renominate President Roosevelt, I think everybody knew at that convention that Roosevelt was in very bad health. Everybody knew, and if you look at some of the photos now in retrospect, he doesn't look very good. And at the time, of course, it was a different time. You didn't have the 24/7 exposure that you have now. There was, the president's privacy was a lot more protected at that time. But I think everybody close to the president understood that the president was probably not going to last his fourth term. So they had to get a man in there as vice president, and they put Harry Truman. Harry Truman was not that well known. In fact, on the day that he became president, April 12, 1933, 1945, most of the country, was completely, unacquainted with him. Harry who? Harry Truman? And he had a challenge to convince people that he was ready for this job, following, of course, on the footsteps of President Roosevelt, who was a political giant at the time. But he became a very consequential president. He made some very tough decisions as president, obviously dropping the two atomic bombs. And you could second-guess him a little bit on what happened in Korea, and second-guess him to the extent that he used a UN resolution rather than going to the Congress for a resolution. But anyway, he was a guy who made a lot of decisions and in many ways set up the policy of containment of communism that we practiced pretty much from his presidency from the late 1940s to the collapse of the Soviet Union at the end of 1991. So Harry Truman, born on this day, a consequential man, a consequential president. There's a great biography about him by David McCullough. I would recommend that you read it. It's really a good presidential biography. One of the best, I think, written about any president. And I, by the way, if you check my blog, I have a link to that book. If you want to check my blog and the article that I wrote about Harry Truman. Well, the other big thing that happened on this day, and that's in 1945, May the 8th, this is Victory Europe Day. And this is the day that it was publicly announced that the Germans had surrendered. The Germans were really falling apart in late April, early May. I mean, you had the Russians or the Soviets, the Red Army, if you will, coming from the east. And then you had the American Army or the Allies coming from the other side. And it was an extremely unstoppable situation. There was simply no way for the Germans to be able to get around this. And during this time, of course, this is when Hitler committed suicide and so on. So by this time in May, the Germans were defeated. So they signed the surrender, and General Eisenhower then gave the news to President Truman and Prime Minister Churchill, and it was announced. And there were great celebrations around the world. I think it's interesting when you look at Victory Europe Day that two of the principals of the war, President Roosevelt and Adolf Hitler, were not around on the day that the war ended. Hitler, of course, as we mentioned, committed suicide, and FDR died literally 3 weeks before the end of the war. So the two people most associated, if you will, the two faces, President Roosevelt with the United States and Hitler with the Nazis, those two men were not around on the day that the war ended. But there were great celebrations in Europe. You see all kinds of photos of this. And there were some celebrations here in the United States too, but I don't think as big as the ones in Europe, because we still had Japan to contend with. And for the next 4 months, the war in the Pacific, the war against Japan, was about as brutal as it could be. And very significant losses for the United States during the next 4 months. Well, thank you for listening. Have a great weekend. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. And enjoy your day. Enjoy your weather. I hope you have the same weather we do. Beautiful. Good night, everybody.